you think that I'm going to preach a full homily doing all the rest of this today, you may take a big, deep sigh of relief. Okay? All right? But a couple of little things more about the liturgy of the word here before I get into a few thoughts, okay, on the scriptures this weekend. But in here, we notice that we used another Hebrew word when we got preparing to announce the gospel, okay? The gospel always has place of preference. Gospel always has place of preference. If that's why it gets treated a little bit differently even than all the other pieces of scripture. Okay? Gets treated differently than all the other pieces of scripture. All right? And that's why we had that big word to announce it and that it's coming and we're getting ready to hear it. And we all stand up and we all sing hallelujah. Again, Hebrew word, basically meaning praise God. Okay? The Ale, the praise, and the Yah, as in Yahweh, okay? All right? So there is that word that we use to announce the gospel, and it's supposed to kind of like get us all stirred up to say, okay, let's hear it now. We're supposed to, at that point in time, be hanging on every word. Now, we're so used to, in our culture, we've become more of a visual culture. We're tied to our phones and everything, okay? But in our culture, it was one that was proclaimed. Nobody had books. Even all the readings and everything that were done, the scrolls and everything, those were in some ways passed around, and they were certainly not in one collection, okay, one easy place where they all were. I had to laugh because as I was preparing for all this, I was reading some of the instructions, and the instructions would say, and none of them read from the scrolls of the ancestors, As long as they can. And I'm thinking, if I read from any gospel as long as I could, you guys would shoot me on a Sunday, okay? But the deal was is that they had to pass those around. They had to do those. And it's just like, oh, here's a copy of the scroll from here. Well, they'd read that for a while until they passed it on to another church. And they would do those things until there were enough copies for everybody to have. Because remember how fast the church was multiplying and spreading during some of this time. But that's what they do, is they'd proclaim the word and they'd all hang on the word so they could figure out what was happening. I said to people before, you know, many times, and I remember in my own training reading the words of Austin Fleming when he said, always prepare your proclamation of the gospel as carefully as you prepare your homily. Because your words might fail them, but the words of the gospel will never do so. You guys can forget anything I ever said as long as you hear and hang on to the words of the gospel. That's why the gospel is so important in our midst. The gospel is, again, how we continue to keep contact with the person of Jesus. Those are the stories of his life. That's what we told through the years. Why are we still here? Because those gospels existed to tell the story of what he said and what he did. And so in breaking that open along with the other scriptures, I can preach on any of them. I can preach on the Mass. I can preach on any of those things. But the gospel has place of preference. Everybody says, well, don't you ever get tired of preaching on the gospel? I have not gotten tired yet because I still haven't seemed to have exhausted all the possibilities that are there. And we never will. That's how full the gospel is of the story of who we are to be, of who we are and whose we are. And so, that's why we greet it with that special, you know, acclamation of praise, and that's why we stand during it, and that's why we hang on it as it's proclaimed in our midst. My job as a homilist, then, is to basically try to continue to break that open the same way we just did, but to try to attach it to life. And you know, my secret is that I preach to myself, and then I let you guys hear what I needed to hear that week. Okay? Pure and simple. But this week, let's take 1 and 3, let's take the gospel and the first reading, and realize that God is saying to us, you know, hey, this is not rocket scientists. You know, this is not for rocket scientists. This is for everybody. Everybody can grab the word of God. It's accessible. All you have to do is grab it and go. That's what we're being told. It's not far off that we got to send somebody to go get it for us. We can all grab it. It's ours. We can grab hold of God's word. That's how much our God loves us. That's what we're being told in the first reading. And so in the gospel, All of a sudden, this young man comes along and he wants to, you know, he was trying to test Jesus, and he's also trying to figure out where he stands. And so he's saying, you know, teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know what's there. You've read it. Tell me what you know. Tell me what you've read. And he gives him the great commandment. He says, you shall love the Lord God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've got it. Good for you. You've got it. You've got it. Love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Great. But because the man wants to justify himself, here's where he's trying to wiggle. He starts trying to say, but then who is my neighbor? And Jesus then tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. And every time you hear the word Samaritan, you're supposed to go, ugh. Okay? Think of the most vile creature that you know on the face of the earth, and there is the Samaritan. Okay? Culturally, that's what it was. So, you all figure it all out. If you're from Joplin, think Web City. I don't care. Okay? All right? Do what you need to do, but whoever it is that you don't like, whatever subcategory of humanity that you don't like and you want to go, puh, that's what we're talking about in Samaritans. All right? And so Jesus tells that parable, and he says to the man, now, which is the one that treated him with mercy? And he has to say, it was the Samaritan guy. It was the one who did it with mercy. And Jesus says, now go and do the same. Now you go and do likewise. Who's your neighbor? Now go and do likewise. It's probably the shortest homily you'll ever hear me give outside of Holy Saturday, okay? But that's what we have to do each week. We have to reach in and grab from the Word whatever it is that we need to hear. That's our job. That's how we stay alive. That's how we do the work of the Word. We reach in and we grab it so that we can continue to live the way that God wants us to live. And so we do. We reach in and we grab it, and we try to take it out into the world and try to live it for the coming week. That's what we're asked to do. You're almost through it, okay? Two more things now with the liturgy of the Word, the work of the Word. In a minute, we're gonna have some silence, okay? Now, the silence, we're supposed to use more of it. I use more of it than any priest I know, and I still get raked over the coals for it. One little kid summed it up real well. I was in Piedmont, Missouri, and I was sitting down after the gospel, and he kept asking his mom, Mom, what's he doing, what's he doing? He goes, I think he's sleeping. No. I'm just trying to let the silence ring, okay? Without the silence, how do we know how we grabbed hold of the Word? How do we know what it's doing inside of us? How do we know some of that stuff? And so I try to give some pieces at certain points in time, and especially after the work of the Word and after the work of the Eucharist, I try to leave just a little bit of time where we got nothing but silence. I know as a preacher, I love when I've been preaching and all of a sudden I turn around and I hear you all going, I want to go, yes. Because then I know I shut up at the right time and let the silence ring so that God can do what God needs to do and I can get out of the way. We need to do that. But then we proclaim the creed together. The creed, basically the creed is, we got two forms. I usually at Easter and Christmas, I use the shorter form, the Apostles' Creed, okay? Which is the older, which is why it's shorter, okay? And during the rest of the year, we recite the Nicene/Constantinople Creed together, which came around the 4th century. These are statements that basically we fought long and hard to come down to an agreement and said, what can we live with? What can we agree on? What can we live with? And we state our beliefs about God and then about Jesus. And Jesus is always the longest part of that because that's the part that we argued about the most and still do. And then the Spirit and then the Church. And that's what's in the Creed. And we do that, and we, you know, try not to skip it unless we're doing it in some other form in the Mass, all right? But we try to do that because, again, those are the simplest, boiled down to the bare bones of our beliefs right there that we state together. And then we get to the intercessory prayers. And the intercessory prayers are the same things that we were gathering together before we came, all the things that we're praying for. We pray for the world. We pray for the church. We pray for all leaders. We pray for the dead. We pray for the sick. We pray for anybody who needs our prayers for particular reasons. And then again, we collect all those together and offer them to God. And then we get ready for the work of the Eucharist.